every day, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markev program, Joe Markev.
Hey, we're on the air.
Again.
We got Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. We got guest member Alan Love, retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin. We got Joe Martech, financial advisor.
Four other members are missing.
Greg Fasula said he might show up today, but he got beat up so bad this morning on PSL because we were talking politics. Can you imagine? Poor Greg.
Did you beat him up?
No, but Dan was really into it.
Yeah.
So I was, and Alan started it.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he started it, and then poor Greg, you know, I mean, it was.
Well, I'm staying out of the politics.
Well, let me just tell you, luckily we're on WCNO, and we don't talk politics.
That's good.
That's it.
Right. It's better that way.
1-888-221-8990. This is, okay, class, you're supposed to write that phone number down, keep it next to your phone, because Team Martech's whole purpose for here is to help you by answering questions that we take for granted quite often because we've been doing it for so long. How long you been in the mortgage business, Mike?
I think it's about 30 years this
30
year.
30 years now? Yeah. And Alan,
I'm waiting for my gold watch.
You were an attorney over 100 years ago, right?
From 1972 to 1985, I was a prosecutor in Milwaukee.
Close enough as far as my math goes. You know, that was just a few weeks ago. Now, the ones that are not here are Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, who's pushing 40 years in St. Lucie County, in my not too humble opinion, the premier independent insurance agent. Why do I say that? Well, one, he's got a monster book of business. When you have a monster book of business, you have the most companies, because all companies want to deal with them. And when one company falls out of favor, let's say you have car insurance or house insurance, he's got 10 or 20 or 30 other companies that might fall into favor. So,
and what I like about Dan is, like, I have my house insurance with him, and right, every year he goes out, and he, without me asking, he goes out and shops it around.
Yep. That's because I pick on him unmercifully.
Yes.
His people keep saying, Joe, please don't have any more accidents. No more tickets, please, please. But, you know, hey, listen, and I'm one of these. Years and years ago, I was an independent insurance agent up north. So I have never felt bad about shopping insurance. So I regularly, if I've got the time, you know, with Dan, I've shopped maybe 3-4 times and I can't beat them, so I quit shopping, you know. But I do call up and just say, hey, wait a minute, you know, I'm not getting any more tickets. Yeah, Joe, you forgot two. Okay, well, we don't count those. That doesn't work. They're on your record.
They don't give you a freebie, a get out of jail
card? They don't give me the get out of jail card. So, and then Vince Rizzino, who's not here today, CPA, who's usually here, because of the new tax codes and all of the tremendous changes in the tax code, there's so many questions that come up. And anybody that's thinking about starting a business needs to just talk to Vince, because how it's going to affect you in the short term and the long term can make a monster difference. And you have picked up lots of personal information from Vince.
Oh, yeah. He's helped me personally. He's helped a lot of my clients.
Yep. And then Greg Fasula, who we've been picking on a little bit, but probably the only attorney in the whole world I'd like to have as a next-door neighbor, because Greg is just a flat good guy. Mm-hmm. He's got one of the best hearts, one of the best giving, loving, caring people. Doesn't rhyme with attorney, but he's a good listener. He's patient. He's not pretentious. He's not arrogant. And if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. I said, Greg, they teach you that in law school? And he goes, no. I said, most attorneys I know, I wouldn't even want to live on the same block with them. You know, but Greg happens to be just a really, really good person.
Yes. And I tell you what, if he doesn't know the answer, he'll find the answer, or he'll refer you to someone that you can trust.
Well, you know, that makes... we joke about that, but oftentimes, Alan, you'd appreciate this and understand it. Somebody walks in the door and says, I need an attorney. What do you need him for? And they tell you, and the guy says, hey, no problem. Give me a check for $2,500, and we'll get started. Then the guy goes and figures out what they want, because it's not his specialty. He doesn't know it.
There's nothing worse than paying for your attorney to be educated.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So then, but Greg, under no circumstances will he do that. What he'll do, he said, I don't do that, but I do know somebody I trust that is trustworthy, and this is who I suggest you call. And if he doesn't know that above, he'll then suggest that you check with the Bar Association or et cetera. But no matter what it is, when a client of mine or if I have a personal problem, I always go to Greg first, because he's going to steer me in the right direction. And that just counts big, big, big points. Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. The only thing you can say about her is nobody in the world works harder, yes. Period. She's only got two speeds, full blast or sleeping. That girl, if she tells you she's going to call you at 3 in the morning, don't go to sleep. Because 3 o'clock in the morning, she'll call you.
Yeah, and she's always looking after her clients.
Period.
Even if she can't help somebody, she'll refer them to somebody who can.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people that she referred to me, and she wasn't even involved in the transaction.
The key thing that she does, she's just another good, good person. Her job has been since day one to do the right thing for anybody that is out there. So the group is Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Vince Rizzino, CPA, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, and Joe Martek, financial advisor.
And speaking about Joe Martek, you usually bring other people by questions you ask them regarding their specialties. I'd like to ask you a question to bring you in today, Joe. And I know that you've talked many times about variable annuities.
Boy, it's funny you should bring that up today.
And we are in the middle, well, maybe not the middle, but we are in the longest bull market in history. And I was thinking, what about people who are getting close to retirement age or are in retirement age? And say they have a stock portfolio, but they're a little concerned now about the market coming down. You know, it always fluctuated. It goes up, it goes down.
Yep.
What about switching part of that stock portfolio where you might have gotten gigantic profits over the last few years into a variable annuity? Would that be a legitimate protective strategy that you might employ?
You know, it's funny you should say this. I was going to save it for the last half of the show, but I'll bring it up now. I had a young lady I talked to this week, and she says, oh, are you that guy on the radio with Safe Money? Which is not me. It's a competitor of mine. But, you know, we all get lumped together. You know how that works. You're in the mortgage business. Well, you're that guy over in Hawaii. No, I'm in Palm City. Right?
Well, I drive the rocket or something.
I drive the rocket. Right? Oh, you're the rocket man. Okay, fine. No, that's the guy in North Korea. No. Anyway, The key thing is this. Let me just give you a quick. There's basically three kinds of annuities. Now, what is an annuity? It's a contract with an insurance company. Why do I have it? Well, number one, if you don't touch it, it's usually tax deferred, which means you don't pay taxes, you don't do anything until you take money out. When you take money out, it's ordinary income, no other form of tax. When you die, it's not subject to probate. And last but not least, if you get sued, it can't be taken away from you. So these are the real reasons to have it. That's the positives. What's the negative? Well, insurance companies make money. Can you believe that?
They're entitled to a little bit of profit.
Well, there you go. So they get a profit. So now we have two basic types of annuity. One's called fixed, one's called variable. Now, fixed kind of makes an easy explanation. You're going to get an interest rate. Now, that interest rate can change once a year, and it might vary a little bit, or it can be fixed for, let's say, a 5 or a 7 year period or an 8 year period, whatever you pick. What's the interest rate? Well, this is the thing that most people do not understand about fixed annuities, and almost no rep ever tells them. They're tied very, very closely to the bond market. Now, if let's say bonds are paying 3%. Well, basically, they might pay 3%. But understand, the insurance company's got to make a profit. So they're projecting forward that bonds are going to go up in value a little bit. But basically, they have to put the vast majority of your money into a bond portfolio, and the bonds can pay 3, 4%, whatever it might be. So people say to me, well, Joe, is that good? Well, let's say you tie up your money for the next 5 or 7 or 8 or 10 years and you're getting 3%, and interest rates go up to 5 or 6 or 7, which is possible. Are you happy? No. But are you safe? Yes. Now, my compliance people say you're supposed to know the claims paying ability of the insurance company, but quite honestly, Florida's got some very, very good rules when it comes to companies doing business in Florida. So if you're dealing with an admitted company, you're in pretty good shape. So the fixed is just that simple. It's going to pay an interest rate. Now, sometimes they throw in a wrinkle and they call it a fixed index annuity. Most people, when they hear that and they're told about it, think they're in the market because they pay interest according to the performance of an index. The index might be the S&P 500, the Dow, the NASDAQ, pick an index. What most people don't understand are the rules of how they calculate the interest. So let's just use an example. Let's say it was the S&P 500, and last year, calendar year, what'd the S&P 500 do, Alan?
19%.
So if you invested in nothing but the S&P 500 last year, you made 19%. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say you're into an index annuity and you are in the index called the S&P 500. Did you make 19%? Odds are not too good that you did, because most of these index products come up and say, we're going to pay you according to the performance of, but you're not in the market, so we're going to pay you interest. However, we're not going to pay you point to point the whole thing. We might do an averaging, or we might have a cap, CAP. Now remember, if it says fixed, you're in the bond market. I don't care what anybody says, that's how you're going to get paid. So if it goes up 19, but all we can afford is to pay you 3 or 4, somehow or other, that's all you're going to get.
Right.
So you've got to be very, very careful when you hear the word index. Very careful. In fact, Alan, you are, here it is, a sophisticated, educated, reasonably intelligent. I do that reasonably because, you know, I don't want to embarrass you too bad.
You did already. Don't worry about it. I can take it.
You can take it. But I remember when you thought index was literally that you were in the S&P 500 or the Dow.
Right. I was confused.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to do because you know what an index is.
Yeah.
But there's a vast difference between an index annuity and a variable annuity, which you'll get into shortly.
So we got the fixed annuity can pay a flat interest rate. No, let's have no smoke and mirrors. Let's just say it pays you 3 or 4%. Just pick a number. That interest rate can change once a year, or it can stay fixed for the whole period of time, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. That's what you see is what you get. There's not really much confusion there. The index annuity, there's lots of confusion because people normally don't understand them, and I've even seen some reps that didn't understand them. Some of them say, we're going to give you a 10 or 12% bonus the first day. Then we're going to do all kinds of stuff over a period of time. But they don't tell you that there's no liquidity, meaning you can't take the money out. The only way you can take it out is if you set up a, quote, pension, at the end of 7, 8, or 10, or 15 years. And now you're going to get paid for the rest of your life.
Don't some of those programs let you borrow against your investment?
No. You hear that categorical statement?
No.
No. No. There's no borrowing against an annuity. So literally, not with the insurance company. You might pledge it for collateral at a bank or something. Maybe they'll take it. Mm-hmm. But the answer is no. So the key thing you have to look at is, and I had somebody else show me, say, well, Joe, they're going to pay me 7%. I said, show me the 7%. So he showed it to me, and I said, what's that word there that says 7% after 7%? He says, factor. Now, does factor mean interest? He goes, no. And I said, you don't get 7% interest. It's a factor that pays you 7% based on your age for the rest of your life. He said, what happens when I die? Well, if there's any money left, it'll go to your family. If there's not any money left, they keep paying you. Maybe. You've got to be very, very careful when you look at these programs and look and say, can I make partial withdrawals? Some of them say you can make partial withdrawals during the next 5 or 7 or 8 or 10 years, but then you have no crediting for interest on any of the withdrawals. You got to be very, very careful. The index annuity, I don't do any of them because, one, my broker-dealer, most of them don't like them. If you do one through my broker-dealer. Broker-dealers, folks, by the way, are Merrill Lynch, Dean Witter, Smith Barney. Mine's called Centaurus Financial. There's like 700 reps nationwide. We're called independent. They make you sign in blood that you know what you're talking about, that you understand the program, and it's like getting a mortgage on a house. You gotta
now, we talked about the index going up. What happens in the case when the index is going down?
Well, there's the good news, because it's fixed, remember? It has a floor.
Okay.
The floor might say we'll pay you no less than 1% or 2. We may pay you no more than 3 on the up, no more than 2 on the down. Cap, floor. Very, understand, 98% of the people that, I love doing this, Mike. I go to see somebody and they say, Joe, I got this thing. I don't really understand it. Would you tell me what it is? And I look at it and I'll say, well, okay, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to call the company directly, not the rep, the company, and we're going to ask them questions. I'm going to write the questions down, and we're going to have both of us on the phone and on a conference call, and when I'm all done and they tell you everything, you're going to throw up. And, I mean, I got to tell you, I've seen some unbelievably upset people because it wasn't what they thought they were told. So the key thing is you just have to understand. Insurance companies are fine. They're solid companies. They have a product, and if the product is properly represented and you understand it, hallelujah. The fixed index, the fixed annuity is real simple, pays 3, 4, 5, 2%. Whatever it pays, you know what you're getting. The index is very difficult to understand. So just remember that word, fixed index. Now we go into variable. Okay, variable says we're in the market. We are into funds. They're not supposed to be called mutual funds, even though they're managed by the same companies like Fidelity or BlackRock or whatever, but they have a different word once it's in an annuity. Not that it's any different, but it looks different, smells different, but it's the same, but I'm not supposed to say that. And I don't, you know, rules, Mike, in every business we have our rules. Mm-hmm. Some of it, I've often said it's like being Catholic. Don't ask questions, you just are one.
Right.
So anyway. So the concept of the variable, it says, okay, we can be invested in the market, and there's maybe 20, 30, 50, 80 different choices. So let's just take an example that we started with. We're in the S&P 500 last year, and we're in this variable annuity, and we're invested in the Standard & Poor's 500, which is 500 of America's biggest companies. And last year, we started with 100,000, and at the end of the year, we have 119,000 in our account. You say, whoa, this is wonderful. But then the question comes up, what happens if the market collapses, which it has from time to time?
Yeah, especially when you're at the top. You have to be concerned about that.
Well, hey, and right now, if we hear the soothsayers are constantly saying every day that the market is, we don't know where it is. This is a long-running bull run, all kinds of stuff. Let me just inject something here for 1 second. Do you remember 2 years ago, Alan, when the PE ratios were 20, 21, and we all thought, man, we're in for a correction big time.
Yeah, that's when I pulled out of the market.
And then all of a sudden, you know what PE ratios are now?
Around 27 is the average.
No, 16.
Yeah, they went down.
16. Now, well, think it. Well, price to earnings ratio, right?
Yeah, I, you know, it depends what you're using.
The I'm using the S&P 500.
I see. The Russell 2000 has gone up, but not down as far as their PEs.
Well, but that's small caps.
But that's small caps, right.
But I'm trying, if we take the Standard & Poor's 500, the Dow, the PE ratios have come down dramatically because these companies are growing and they're making more money. They're making higher profits. So the ratio of price to earnings has gotten better rather than worse. Back again, a couple of years ago, we all thought, oh boy, Obama's in group. We were not looking good. So now this new administration comes in, changes the rules, changes tax code, all of a sudden stimulates the economy. Companies are making money hand over fist.
Yeah, well, right off the bat, the tax code improved the P.E. ratios.
Exactly, right then. So the basic P.E. ratios are much better today than they were a couple years ago. Now I'm in this S&P 500. And I'm making 19% last year, and this year I'm up, give or take, around 10. Let's just use that number. But the fear is, what happens when the market goes down? When insurance company says, okay, stay in the market. You're over here. Market does well. Hallelujah, we're in good shape. But what happens if the market turns south? Well, very often these companies have what's called a death benefit that says, in case you die on the wrong day when the market's down, your family is guaranteed what you put in, sometimes plus 5%. Sometimes times the highest quarter. They have different rules that guarantee that money just in case. Just in case you die on the wrong day. So your spouse is protected, your children are protected, or whoever you want for beneficiaries are protected. You say, okay, fine, I'm glad you're protecting them, but what if I don't die? Okay, well, that's a personal problem. None of us get out.
Well, I'd rather have a bad day in the market than the alternative.
Well, nobody gets out of here alive, but what if I'm stuck living to be 100 or 90 or pick a number? And I'm not wishing it on anybody, but what the insurance company says, here's what we're going to do. You put your money in the market or whatever the investments are over here. That wins, hallelujah, nobody's upset. Let's go over to the insurance side. If you qualify, they say, we're going to guarantee you a 5% income or a 6% or a 7%, 6.5%. They have different names and numbers based on
it. But what if the market goes down? And then are they going to pay you based on the lower value of your investment?
No. Way to go, Mike. This is good. Let's use that example. I put $100,000 in. Mm-hmm. They're going to guarantee me a 5% income for the rest of my life on that $100,000.
Okay.
That's $5,000 a year, right?
Sure.
Let's say the next year, and it won't do this, but let's say it goes up to 150. This is easy math for me in my head.
Okay.
150 times 5% is 7,500. Well, they step you up to $7,500. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
That's now your income for the rest of your life.
So even if it goes down.
Wait a minute. I've got this memorized. You want me to start over again?
It sounds too good to be true.
Now the market goes down to 50 grand. It collapses. We have Armageddon, which is not quite Armageddon. Armageddon, we don't care anymore. But we have a major bust in the stock market. The insurance company says, we're going to keep paying you $7,500 a year for the rest of your life. And if it never goes back up, you will get it $7,500 a year for the rest of your life or until it goes higher than that 150. So once a year on the anniversary date, they're going to recast it up only, never down.
Mm-hmm.
Up only, never down. You got that? I know you've been hanging out with you know boaters. You know they're not the brightest people on earth.
And you're
not bright if you own a boat.
Well, that's what I was just saying. Both of us are boaters, by the way. That's the reason I
said
was,
you're one of them too.
No kidding. Hey, it was pretty easy. So
does that mean I'm the brightest bulb in the studio here?
We don't count attorneys.
I see. Okay.
They don't count.
I was worried.
You don't have to worry anymore. The key thing is this. The whole concept is we don't want insurance for anything. Right?
Right.
Nobody wants car insurance, house insurance, none of these things, because the only way we collect is if we have a problem.
Correct.
We don't want a problem. So the insurance company says, okay, fine, you put this $100,000 in. 10 years from now, it's worth $200,000 because you're in the market and you did well. Do we care about insurance? No. Take the $200,000 and run. Do whatever you want. It's your money.
So it is liquid.
Oh, 100%, always liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a negative, and I'll come up in a minute. But in the meantime, if the market performs, that's what it's worth. If the market doesn't perform, your family's protected and you're protected. Got it?
Right.
Now, let's talk about liquidity. Remember, I was talking about that fixed index annuity has almost no liquidity because they don't pay you normally. But this one says, hey, you can withdraw 10% a year, no penalty. Or you can take all the earnings, no penalty. Anytime. Anytime.
Okay.
So I put $100,000 in today. Tomorrow I can take $10,000 out, no penalty.
Now, what typically is the penalty?
Okay, funny you should ask. Now, what happens is, because most of these annuity contracts, all your money goes to work for you the first day. Nothing is held out for commissions, fees, or expenses.
Mm-hmm.
We all know there are commissions, fees, and expenses. So the insurance company says for the next 7 years, if you decide to cash the whole thing in for no reason, you can always take out 10% a year or all the earnings, but other than that, you would pay a penalty every year, which will keep going down till at the end of 7 years, there's no penalty. So it would start off at 8.5%, and then go down every year until at the end of 7 years, there's none.
Mm-hmm.
During the 7 years, if you decide to die, no penalty to your heirs.
So only for withdrawal, anything over 10%. So you take out 11, if you take out 11%.
Use an exact example. I put 100 in, I take out $11,000.
Right.
10,000 is no penalty.
And so you're only paying the penalty on the extra $1,000.
Yes.
Very good.
That's it. That's simple. So I had clients last year, all of a sudden they said, Joe, I'm up $18,000. Can I take some money out? Now people forget. They don't come into this normally thinking they're going to count this as, you know, as money to go shopping with.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a client of mine, he just happened to get married again. And good looking woman. He was pretty excited. And I was happy for him. His wife had died. And anyway, I said, yeah, take this. You might as well. And well, here comes the honeymoon. So he took out $13,000 and hallelujah, good for him. You know, they got to spend the money and have a good, no penalty. Now, if it's earning, there's tax. You know, you're not going to beat Uncle Sam. I don't care who you are. So the concept is, okay, so pay your tax. If you're in a 20% tax bracket and you take out $10,000 and it's all earning, you're going to lose $2,000 to the government and you're going to have $8,000 in your pocket. But the concept, to remember this with the variable, you're in the market. You don't have to be in the market, by the way. You can be, let's say, today in the S&P 500, and here's something I was talking to another client of mine. I said, well, when interest rates keep going up, let's say they get up around 7%, we may get out of the market totally and get into bonds because bonds might be paying 7% at that time. Then the market starts to go down. Well, the bond values go up. All of a sudden, you can make money 7, 8, 9, 10% on bonds.
Mm-hmm.
So you can switch back and forth. So there are usually up to 150, 30, 90 different options available to invest your money in. Does the average person know that? No. But that's why you have an agent or a representative or a financial advisor. You ever hear of such a thing?
Yes. And I'm sure they make some money as well.
Well, no kidding. You know, like, how can I afford my boat? The hole in the water in which we pour money.
Yes.
Joe, let me see. Let me use an example. Let's see if we've got this straight on a variable annuity. Let's say I come to you on January 2nd, 2008 with $100,000.
You went back to 2008?
Right.
Okay.
And I give you, we put $100,000 in a variable annuity.
Right.
And by March of 2009, the S&P is down 50% approximately.
Now, stay with that thought. And you're saying we invested in the S&P 500.
Right. In a variable annuity in the
and we're in the S&P
2008 in January, and the market's down 50%.
Right.
Now, if the variable annuity is paying 5% a year, they're still paying me $5,000.
It does not pay 5% a year. It has a guaranteed income on that $100,000 of 5% per year.
Oh,
so you can take out $5,000.
I see. So that's okay. So that's one area I was confused.
This is insurance now.
So there is a
guaranteed income.
Guaranteed income.
If you qualify for that guaranteed income, it's quota rider that you add to
right.
the contract to protect
okay.
in case you need income. Now, stay with that thought.
Okay. Now, the market has gone up approximately four times off of that March 2009 bottom. So
right.
now your $100,000 went down to $50,000, but it's now worth $200,000.
Okay.
So now is the guarantee then stepped up to $10,000?
Yes.
Okay.
Once a year on the anniversary date, if the market is higher than what you started with, and you've only taken out 5% per year, or 6 if you're old, I mean, they change the number, then they step it up.
So then you can take out $10,000 a year, and you do have to pay taxes on that.
Of course.
Take out $10,000 your Social Security.
You may not have to pay on it, but you got to
claim. Well, yeah, claim. I mean, it figures in with your Social Security or pension income. Right. So under the new rules, you may either have to pay a minimal amount of taxes or nothing at
all.
Depends
on your income. I have couples taking $50,000 a year between Social Security and income. They pay nothing in tax. The concept is tax management, which is why we have Vince Rosino, is to make sure that how much can these people actually put in their pocket and not pay tax. Mm-hmm. The key is, what's the old rule? It's not how much I make, it's how much I keep.
But if it is going to affect you in a tax situation, you can opt to roll it over and keep it invested.
What happens is you don't have to take it. You only pay tax when you take the money. You're tax deferred until you take it out.
So in other words, if I have a $100,000 IRA and I'm starting to get palpitations about the market, can I roll that $100,000 into a variable annuity without paying taxes?
And it's still called an IRA, and the answer is yes.
Okay.
And whether it's a 401k, a 403b, pick any number. If it's never been taxed, it has a government code attached to it. That can be a rollover or a transfer. They use, you know how the words in our business make no sense sometimes?
Mm-hmm. All the time.
If it's X, it's a transfer. If it's Y, it's a rollover. What's the difference? None. Same exact thing, only we just put different words with them because some attorney had to come in and justify his existence by changing the words.
And anyway, if somebody wants to ask you a question, why don't we give our phone number here, 888-221-8990. We're open. The phone lines are open if you wish to talk to Joe.
That's the noise it makes. No, it's not. I just pushed the button.
Okay.
The key thing that we're talking about, and I've had a number of clients, especially, let me tell you, if you're young, this is not a smart move because we got to figure the insurance company's going to make money. Now, how much do they make? Well, let's go back over to the investment side. Now, we all know how a mutual fund works, Mike, right?
Sure.
So a mutual fund, we're invested, let's say, in a, and I don't care what the fund is. We get a price every day that says what our mutual fund is worth, and subtracted from that on a daily basis is 1/365th of a fee. Now, we've talked about mutual funds here, that Pastor Dave and I start this mutual fund and we put in $10 million and Mike comes along and says, slice me a little tiny piece, $10,000. What are you going to charge me? Well, we're going to charge you a fee because we put $10 million together and we have to eat, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, we don't want to eat just hamburger and chitlins. You know, we want some real food.
And we don't want to eat our pizza.
And want to eat our pizza. So the concept is, the mutual fund company takes a little tiny piece out of there, and this is a rule that the SEC should be changing and is trying to change. It just seems like it never happens, because what you see is what they call a net asset value, or today's value after the fees have been deducted. Now, some insurance companies are going to show you some of the fees they take out, but I've never seen one that shows it all. But just assume that you're going to pay about 3% a year. Just assume that.
So they don't have to disclose, like we have to disclose an APR and a note rate.
You have to disclose it. But after you do it today, 3 months from now, are they going to know the difference between the note rate and the APR?
No.
No. Okay. What I'm trying to say is we try to educate people today, and I can't tell you how many times people say, Joe, tell me what you told me 6 months ago that I forgot. Or I have people say, Joe, how am I doing? Well, let me show you here. No, just tell me. I can't read that. You know, and it's for us in the business, it's pretty simple. We can look at it, but there's words. Accumulated value, surrender value. They have different words that are not words that we use. Like, instead of accumulated value, I'd say today's value. Well, I could understand today, but how often do you use the word accumulated? You know, it's just not a word. But that's what insurance companies do. So literally,
the whole concept of this is, one, I want to make money. I never want to have to use the insurance. But now I'm 65, I'm 70, I'm 55, I'm 75. I'm scared. I can't really afford to go back to work, or if I do, I'm going to get a job at Walmart as a greeter, and they didn't pay me my $100,000 a year I was making when I was making big bucks. So I don't want to take risk, but I can't afford to live on 2 and 3% on my investment. And I don't want to set up a pension with it and have it all gone, because I'm stuck with it. So the concept of the variable allows you some latitude and flexibility to protect you in case the market is bad. But in the meantime, you can be in the market when it's good, and you can get in and out of the market. And if you've got a decent financial advisor, he's monitoring the market, what's going along.
How do they calculate your guaranteed income if you exceed your 5% withdrawal each year?
They recalculate it.
So they just deduct that off of your initial investment, and that's how they calculate
it? This is not word for word. Not every company does it this way. But let's just take an example. Client puts in $100,000, and they got a 5% income guarantee. That's $5,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Year goes by, it's up to $150,000. Okay? They now have a 5% income guaranteed on $150,000, which would be $7,500. But mm-hmm. they take out the $50,000. Now they're back to $100,000. Well, they're back to $5,000 on the $100,000. Now, it's not dollar for dollar, penny to penny, and not every company does it that way, but some do. So what you have to do is ask that question and have an exact example. So most people don't usually take out using that big an example, but you can.
Mm-hmm.
You can always cash the whole thing in. Now remember, for 7 years or so, you pay a penalty, but not on earnings, just on what you put in. And that's some companies. I've got to be real careful what I'm saying here, because not every company is the same. Now, I represent, as far as I'm concerned, every company there is, but Mike and you and I both know, let's say there's 100 companies out there. If there's 100 companies, one's on top, one's on the bottom, and everybody else is somewhere in the middle, who do we like to deal with? Well, we like to deal with the guy on top. So if you qualify for the one that's on top, you get the best program. Not that the other ones are not good, but there's always somebody that's best. Now, that position changes.
Now, when you said you qualified, what constitutes the qualification
age.
Of it?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
So the older you are, obviously the better program.
Not necessarily. You get too old, they don't want you. You're too old to get in, because now they're worried about you dying tomorrow and the death benefits and the expenses go away. So they literally, the key that this works for magnificently are people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. Once you get in your 80s and 90s, it doesn't work as well. But there are programs available, but they're not as good. Sometimes a person, let's say they're 90 and they want to get into a variable, okay, fine. The death benefit might just be a return of what you put in.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. They don't step it up. And that can be a real situation, and I've had that happen. Old guy says, hey, I'm sitting in the bank and I'm getting 0.5%. This is not good. I don't need the money. I'm going to leave it to my kids. What can you do? I said, well, I can put you in a market. And last year, people made 18, 15, 19%. He says, well, yeah, what's it going to do in the future? Who knows? Let's hope it does better. He said, well, what happens when I die? Worst that can happen, if you don't take any money out, your family gets back what you put in. That's the worst. So
you can get your 5% up until the day you die, and then you get your investment back.
There you go.
Not bad.
So if you qualify for the 5 in and the 5 out, if they're putting in 5 for a death benefit and you're taking out 5 and you die, basically your family gets your money back.
Mm-hmm.
So the key thing is the variable works extremely well today. People are excited at all giving out. When it starts to fall apart, is if you stay in the market and you watch your money side go down, but your insurance is there to protect you in case you don't die, and there to protect your family in case you die on a wrong day. And I joke about that, dying on the wrong day, but let me tell you, the kids would much rather have you die when the market's up so they can get the Maserati. They don't want the Pinto. So there are some benefits to having dying when the market's up. So the insurance company takes that risk. Am I answering these questions enough?
You are doing a magnificent job, sir.
See, that's what I like about Alan. I pay him that extra $20 to use the big words like magnificent.
Except
Wait a minute, all of a sudden, caveat.
Did you get the $20?
In full truth, it's a Confederate $20 bill that you keep getting.
But it looks pretty. If you're like Jeff Davis, you're all set.
Where it's in pesos.
Yeah, how about I give you 2,000 pesos?
Yeah, well, at least they're exchangeable.
There is something there, right, right. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. Let me talk about, we talked about this, Mike, on the radio today. I had another client call in. And by the way, Fed raised the rates a quarter point today.
0.25% today, yep.
10-year T-bill was 3.11.
Went down.
To what?
3.07.
Oh. So they're saying that fixed 30-year rates are pushing 5% now.
Yeah, it's right around there.
Right around there, mm-hmm. Which is still a magnificent deal for anybody that's ever been alive more than 2 weeks.
But the market always sees these increases coming. They knew that the Fed was going to raise the rates today, and it was already baked into the interest rates.
Yeah. But the 10-year T-bill is really the denominator for real interest rates in the mortgage business,
correct.
Normally, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I've heard all kinds of people, there's obviously different camps thinking, some saying it by the end of the year, it might be at 285.
It could, because the interest rate that the Fed is talking about is the interest rates that banks borrow from the Fed overnight. So that's right. A long cry from a 30-year fixed rate mortgage. But what it does affect is if you have a home equity line of credit, because that does affect the prime interest rate.
Now, most home equity lines of credit are variable. They're not a fixed interest
rate. Yeah, 90% of them out there.
Yeah. So, but on the other hand, some people can get 5-year ARMs, they're called, adjustable rate mortgages.
Yes.
They have a fixed rate for 5 years, and then they can adjust up or down at the end of 5 years, right?
Sure. But usually they don't adjust down because, just like you were talking about the annuities having a floor, so do ARMs.
Right.
And usually that's the floor is the start rate.
Yeah, okay.
So it's highly unlikely it will go down. It can only go up from where
there you
can
go.
Start.
I love that word, highly unlikely. I was in the Bahamas, and a bunch of us were over on our boats, and a buddy of mine says, Joe, can I drive your boat? And I said, highly unlikely. And I'll never forget it. You're going to drive my $200,000 boat and kill it in an hour.
Yeah.
You know,
on the reefs.
This guy can't even drive a car. You know, he wants to drive my boat. Uh-huh. Right. You know, Mike, somebody driving your boat scares you to death.
Well, I mean, the reason you're out there on the boat is to drive the boat and enjoy.
You and I are. But I know people that don't. They have captains, and they got like a 45-foot boat. They should be able to handle it, right?
You would think.
But
why buy a boat if you can't handle it yourself?
This is like marriage. Is there logic here anyplace?
No.
Okay.
You can't justify boat ownership.
Can't justify, right? No matter what. 1-888-221-8990.
You know, speaking of these home equity lines of credit, you know, you do have the pain of these growing interest rates. But most people don't understand that most of these lines of credit, you can only draw on those for a certain period of time. Most of them is for 10 years. And then after 10 years, they're going to want to start to get their money back because most of the payments are based on interest-only payments.
Right, right.
That means
right.
You're not paying your principal down as time goes on, and then all of a sudden you're whacked with these huge increases because now they want their principal back over a 20-year remaining period.
So what they do is they normally will write the home equity line with a 10-year interest only, and then at the end of 10 years, you start making real payments? Is
correct,
that
yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes that could be very painful.
Well, especially if the interest rates have gone up considerably. Now, do they amortize principal and interest at that point?
Yeah, and usually it's over a 20-year period, so it's a higher payment.
Yep.
One, because it's a you're making principal repayments now, and two, it's a short term. It's a 20-year term versus a 30-year mortgage.
And the second time, and the third part is that the interest rate can still go up.
Now, once it starts amortizing, then they usually lock it in. Now, every home equity loan that you do could be different, but most of
them
will work that. Yeah, they'll lock it in, and it's a fixed rate for the remaining 20
years. Yeah, remember when interest rates were 17% when locking it in at 17? Remember those days?
Yeah, you didn't want to lock it in.
No. Sometimes you had no choice.
But if you got it 15 years ago, then it would have locked in at a pretty decent interest rate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 1-888-221-8990. Nobody loves us today, Alan.
Well, what I'm gleaning from both of you is if you're like in your upper 70s,
mm-hmm.
maybe the thing to consider doing is structuring your investment funds into a variable annuity as a protection. But then, is there an age limit on reverse mortgages?
Well, there's an age limit in that, in the sense that you have to be at least 62 to qualify.
Right. So, in other words, if you're in your upper 70s and you want to protect your assets, but you want to take income out, you can do it from the variable annuity, and then you can do it from a reverse mortgage. Is
that
correct?
Yeah, but the thing is, on the variable annuity, when you take money out, it could be a taxable event.
Could be.
Right. Where on a reverse mortgage, they're borrowed funds. So that is not a taxable event.
So that's another advantage to.
Big time.
And of course, you'd have somebody like Vince Rosino then who'd work all that out.
Well, there is no tax on a reverse mortgage. That's
right.
But it's that simple.
But say that the reverse mortgage doesn't provide the amount of income that you need to fully.
Well, here comes different things. Talk about reverse mortgage for a minute.
Okay.
Now, when they first came in, here's a check for $100,000, goodbye.
Well, I would say initially when they came into the market, people looked at them as a revenue stream. They just got a fixed amount every month, and that's how it worked. Those reverse mortgages kind of evolved into a glorified home equity line of credit.
Right.
And that's basically what they are today. It's an equity line of credit, and you can set it up any way you want. You can take a lump sum. You can take a monthly amount for the rest of your life,
right?
Or you can take a term, which is, okay, I need $1,000 and a month to subsidize my income. And that will, if you do that, it'll last for a certain period of time, and that's called a term.
Right.
Or you can just use it like a regular home equity line of credit. You can take as much as you need whenever you need it until it runs out.
So let's say I have a home, I have a reverse mortgage, my house is worth $200 and I borrow $100 and I don't have to make any payments.
Nope.
And
you can if you want.
I can if I want. So now I have that line of credit basically for $100,000, and I can write a check, $5,000, $10,000, pick a number, mm-hmm. or I can set up an income stream if I want out
sure.
of that $100,000.
Yep.
Now, what if I don't take all the money? Let's say I only take $50,000 out and $50,000 sits available.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with that $50,000 that sits available?
Well, it's a line of credit, and the unused portion of your line of credit will grow. And usually they set that at a 4% growth rate. So if it's a $100,000 line, you take 50, then the remaining unused portion is 50. That 50,000 that's remaining will grow at 4% a year. So
2,000 a year.
2,000 a year.
Now, does that compound or just straight?
No, it's just straight. And the theory is that, okay, the property value is going up in value
sure,
as well.
Sure.
So we're going to increase the line slightly by 4% every year.
Yeah, a lot of people really get worried about these, and I hear it constantly from, quote, old people like me that are worried about their kids inheriting money. Like, we all inherited a lot of money when our parents died, right? Yeah, right, Zippo. Anyway,
I wish.
So the concept is, I've got this reverse mortgage. I get to take the cash out and do whatever I want with it. And let's say my house is $200,000 and I take out $100,000. Well, people say, well, gee, I'm really concerned. What if I'm paying 5% interest on the $100,000? That's $5,000 a year that keeps getting added. But if the house goes up at 5% a year on $200,000, that's $10,000 a year.
Yeah.
So I got $5,000 added, $10,000 growth. $5,000 added, $10,000 growth. Now, I'm not giving exact numbers. I'm giving an example.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, reality is, over a long period of time, home ownership, how many people do we know that come down from New York that paid $50,000 for their house and sold it for $250,000 or more?
Mm-hmm.
Now they come down, they pay cash or something for a house. And what I love about a reverse mortgage, now that same person can buy a house with a reverse mortgage, mm-hmm. and put down $100,000 out of that sale of their house, keep $100,000 in the bank, and never make a payment on their house.
Right. And or if you only netted $100,000, you can buy a $200,000 house and just use the $100,000.
I love the concept of the reverse mortgage. The thing that I've seen more important than the fun part is watching people. We had a lady up in Fort Pierce who's in her 80s, lived there her whole life, no air conditioning.
In Florida.
Mm. And got a reverse mortgage, central air was put in the house. I'm telling you, you've never seen a smile like you've ever seen on this lady. It was just...
I could imagine.
Oh, what a life changer. You know, I mean, It's, you know, we all know you need to have heat, but you can sweat, you can get sprayed by the garden hose, you can do all kinds of stuff, but boy, it's sure not comfortable at night in Florida without AC.
You know, there's so many misconceptions on reverse mortgages. Everyone, you know, there's quite a few, you'd be surprised. So many people come in my office, they're interested in reverse mortgage, but they fear that they're going to give the house back to the bank.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's not the case whatsoever. No. I mean, a reverse mortgage is no different than a forward mortgage, other than you don't make mortgage payments.
That's all. But you can if you want.
You can. I had someone who it was a very sad story. They lost a spouse, so they lost 50% of their income, couldn't afford the house anymore, lost the house, had to file a bankruptcy. Mm. But they had a pretty good sum of money in a retirement account, which was protected in the bankruptcy.
Right.
So his theory was, okay, now I have to start over again. I'm going to have to liquidate all my retirement funds and buy this house. And instead of doing that, what we did was gave them a reverse mortgage to purchase the property, and they only had to put 50% down. So they were able to buy the house that they wanted and only have to take out of the retirement half of what they needed.
And he was. Now he'd get to stay in a nice home and not make a payment.
Yeah, and his intention was to get a forward mortgage, but he didn't qualify because his credit was damaged.
And didn't have an income.
So now he wanted to continue to make payments, and you can do that on a reverse mortgage. You can pay it down if you want. And the thing is, it's a line of credit, so it's available for your future use.
In case. See, a lot of times, I mean, it's a wonderful thing wanting to leave your kids money, but just remember this, Maseratis or Pintos.
So we don't suggest you take a reverse mortgage to buy a Maserati.
No. But you can if you want. It's your money.
Absolutely.
Now, what happens is with a reverse mortgage, because it's a federal program, you have to go through counseling. They want to make sure you understand what you're doing, and that's an outside counseling source.
Right? Yeah, it's really one of the few mortgage products where they require you to get an education, because they want you to understand all the ins and outs. So by the time you're ready to sign on the dotted line on a reverse mortgage, you know what you're getting into.
I had a client of mine, husband and wife. They were living up in a condo up in Port St. Lucie, and they got their reverse mortgage at the top of the market.
Good for them.
The condo was basically a $50,000 two-bedroom, two-bath walk-up, and it got up to $170,000. So they got $170,000 appraisal, got the reverse mortgage. He died. She stayed there. She finally got too old to stay, and she moved into an assisted living. So then she gets a letter that says she's not living there anymore, and they want their money. And she goes, "What do I do, Joe?" And I says, "Hey, you got a reverse mortgage. All they're saying is they want their money, but that doesn't mean you have to pay it. The key thing is these are insured, and basically what happens is if you don't sell it, if you move out, and if you're upside down, meaning it's only worth 50 now and you owe 170, it's theirs." And that's their problem, because they knew that risk when they were going in, and there's a government insurance plan to back up the bank just in case things like this happen.
Yeah, the bank is not entitled to anything more than the collateral, which is the property.
Right.
So if you're in a situation that you're upside down on a reverse mortgage, it's not your problem.
Right. I had the mother sit with me, then I had to talk to the daughter because she's getting bills, and I'm saying, honestly, do not pay it. I mean, if you want to pay it, you go ahead and knock yourself out. You don't have to. There's no legal requirement. There's no credit requirement. There's no nothing. When your mom bought the thing and your dad, they knew that they never had to make a payment, no matter what.
And believe me, this happens so infrequently, because these programs are not set up for the government or the bank to lose.
No.
You know, if you're 65 years old, they're probably only going to lend you about 50% of the property value.
Right.
So the chances of it ever going upside down is pretty slim. Now, we do have that, you know, what we went through in 2008 and 2009.
Right.
That
anomaly.
Anomaly. It's never going to happen again. Hopefully.
Hopefully it won't happen again. And there's going to be, the roller coaster of life is going to keep going on. There's no such thing as a level plane. But hopefully what happens is each one of these sticks in the eye are supposed to teach us something, that eventually our Federal Reserve and our people that make these decisions for us, except for Barney Frank, of course, know what they're talking about. I had to pick that one, Mike. That's an inside joke, folks. Don't pay attention to that one. All right, we're just about winding down. Now, if you do call, which you didn't, which we have our feelings hurt, you know, but I'll survive. You call anytime you want, Pastor Tom, Pastor Dave, Jonathan, we'll take your name and number and we'll get back to you. 1-888-221-8990. Remember, we have Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. He'll help and answer questions. You know, one of the things that Mike can do for you in 15 minutes, if you agree, he'll run a credit report, find out if you're good, bad, or indifferent, what you need to do, what you can qualify for, and if you have a problem, he'll also lay out a plan for you to cure your problem.
Yeah, I do that every day.
Might take 6 months or a year, but whatever it does, so that you can qualify.
The main thing is you have to find out where you stand, where
That's
you
it.
Are now.
That's number one. Ms. Victoria Lloyd, REMAX of Stewart. Last week I got the phone call, I'm sure you got it too. Joe, I'm one of the top agents. You know, remember a couple years ago she came in, she goes, out of 100,000 agents, I'm on the top. And I said, there's not 100,000 agents in Florida. In fact, this is the whole world. Oh, you're kidding. You know, she's such a sweetheart. She's not, doesn't have an arrogant or pretentious bone in her body, but she's a worker.
Yes, absolutely.
She's a worker.
Not pretentious at all.
No. Vince Rizzino, CPA, forensic CPA, court recognized him as an expert witness. I joke about it, but inside of our group, not including Alan, we have about 200 years of combined experience. When we throw Alan in, we got 300 years of combined experience. And then we have Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Hey, I'm telling you, that word independent carries a lot of weight, and especially when you are as big as Dan with about 100 companies under his umbrella. If Dan can't do it, he doesn't do it. He doesn't do airplanes, and he doesn't do mega yachts.
But he can refer you to someone.
He'll refer you to somebody that can. So the concept is, and Joe Martek's here to help you with financial advice when it comes to rolling over or transferring, how to make sure you're protected, make sure your family's protected. We need to spend a little bit of time maybe next week on talking about life insurance, because that's a subject that's come up every once in a while. I had a client of mine whose ex-husband died, and a child is a minor child. It's the beneficiary, and now it's a can of worms, because the guardian is the mother, but there's another person that's a beneficiary in there. So we can spend some time talking about that and what needs to get done. 1-888-221-8990. Pastor Dave is wandering, waving cards at us, saying, Joe, time to leave, shut up, go. Until next week. Thank you for not calling. No way, I didn't mean that.
But thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Team Martek Program. The Team Martek Program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek Program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-678-7725.
You know, I'm so thankful that I can give all that I have, all that I am, to He who loves me more than anything in the world. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trade all of my sorrows.